You get married by the Pope. You don't have a problem convincing people that you're married. Same when a regular old-style minister, rabbi, or judge in the local courthouse does the presiding. Yep, it's legit, you're married. But what if the presider, let's say, received his ordination certificate off the internet? In other words, what if the who doing the marrying isn't as well-known, as fear-inspiringly authoritative as the Pope? Are you still officially married? The slippery legal answer, it depends. State legislatures across the United States have passed statutes defining the who can preside over weddings. In Illinois, for example, it's a judge or certain public officials, or you can be legally wed in accordance with the ways of any religious denomination, or, listen up, Gloria Steinem, married by a medicine man last month, in accordance with the ways of any Indian nation or tribe or native group. The Illinois statute echoes the Uniform Marriage and Divorce Act, a standard law drafted by legal experts adopted by some legislatures. And with such a liberal guiding hand, you would think any religious figure can preside over a wedding, as long as he could show he'd been ordained, let's say. But you'd be wrong. Take, for example, a religious group called the Universal Life Church. One of its goals is to ordain as many Universal Life Church ministers as possible. Church officials boast that there are more than 18.3 million ULC ministers on earth, and that's because it's pretty easy to become a ULC minister. Interested parties back in the 80s, for example, would send a donation to the church, and church officials would respond with a suitable for framing ordination certificate. No flock, no church, no collar necessary, of course, just an ink pen to fill in a name, literally above the dotted line. The newly ordained ULC ministers began presiding over marriages, and states began taking notice. In New York, for example, in 1972, judges decided that a married couple didn't need an annulment because they were never married in the first place by a guitarist-slash-folk-singer-slash-universal-life-minister. He just wasn't the person the legislature had in mind when it required that marriages be performed by a duly authorized person from an ecclesiastical body. Same decision in a New York case from 1989. Virginia refused to recognize ULC marriages in 1974. In North Carolina in 1980, a court invalidated a universal life marriage, and the legislature responded by passing a special statute validating all such marriages performed prior to 1981. In 1988, Mississippi went against the tide and explicitly recognized a marriage performed by a ULC minister. But that case had a bit of a twist in the facts. A judge's wife had suggested that the couple call the minister after the judge refused to marry the couple at their hotel. At least four states then have decided universal life church marriage cases, and the others might soon become familiar with ministry for the asking. The number of ULC ministers is skyrocketing, roughly now the population of Virginia. In fact, the Virginia court commented that one could become a minister without knowing it, or completely by accident. Imagine my surprise as I clicked on the message of ordination on the ULC website to hear a man's voice over soft music, gently notifying me that the church had appointed and anointed me a minister, fully empowering me with all pastoral duties. And then this qualifier, seemingly tailored to the moment, pastoral duties within the laws of my jurisdiction. You'll have to pardon me. I'm off to check the tax code for religious exemptions. I'm Amy Guida.